Welcome to Torah Imecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman. Join us for Pesach Ideas and Inspiration. Mrs. Elisheva Kamenetsky will be sharing ideas about how to engage your teen at the Seder. From Matzah to Meaning, Thursday night, April 3rd at 8 p.m. Eastern. Learn more and sign up at ouwomen.org/Pesach25. And now for today's Parsha.
Welcome to Torah Imecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Smiles. Today we'll be learning Parshat Vayikra. We know that Parshat Vayikra begins the whole Seder of Chumash Vayikra. The Chumash Vayikra is referred to by Chazal as Torat Kohanim, the book that references the laws that are specific to the Kohanim, that are specific to the priests. Indeed, the whole Sefer is one of Kedusha, one of holiness. And the Beit HaMikdash, the Mishkan, was the center of holiness, and hence the laws that are specific to the priests, who are the representatives of this special place. As we move through Sefer Vayikra, we will move into different arenas of holiness. We will talk about in Parsha Kedoshim, holiness that deals with the individuals and laws that ensure that we are a mamleches kohanim, that we are a nation of holy people. And then we'll move into holiness in time in Parshat Emor, which deals with the chagim, the festivals. And we'll end with the holiness of the land in Parshat Bahar with the ideas of Shemitah. We begin Sefer Vayikra with the laws of Korbanos. And the first five chapters, which are found in Parshat Vayikra, deal with different aspects of the korbanos. In Perek Aleph, we have the korban ola, the burnt offering, and it brings down which types of animals from the domestic animals one is allowed to bring a korban ola. A korban ola was burnt completely on the mizbeach. Nobody ate from the korban ola at all. Then Perek Beis deals with the mincha offering, and it begins nefesh ki takriv. A nefesh is a soul. It's the ani, it's the poor person who can't afford the animal's offering, and it deals with different types of korban mincha. The third chapter deals with the korban shlamim. The korban shlamim is the peace offering, and it's called the shlamim because it brings shalom. The mizbeach gets parts burnt on it. The priest eats part of it, the Kohanim, as well as the people. It makes shalom, peace among everyone. And then finally, we have in Perek Daled, the sin offerings for different specific individuals, the Kohen Gadol, for the tzibur, the community, for the king. And then finally, we have in the fifth Perek, different types of korbanos. We have the meal offering for those who are guilty, the offering for questionable guilt, the offerings for dishonesty, different specific types of korbanos are mentioned. I'd like to focus on an idea that is found, which is really essential for the whole idea of what korbanos are about in general. In the opening of our parsha, the second pasuk says, Dabera b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem, speak to the people of Israel and tell them, Adam ki akriv mikem korban, an Adam, a person who will offer among you a sacrifice la Hashem, to Hashem, mina beima, mina bakara, mina tzon, takriva korban chem, and it mentions which of the domestic animals that a person can bring the sacrifice. The fascinating idea that's found in our pasuk is the idea of Adam ki akriv mikem korban. Why does the Chumash use the word Adam and not Ish? Ish is the classic term that the Chumash uses throughout when it talks about any type of sacrifice or referring to a person. It refers to them as an Ish. Adam is a very unusual phrase, and clearly it's here to teach us a lesson. And there are a number of lessons that we can learn. Let's begin with that of Rashi. Rashi notes that the term Adam is used as a throwback to Adam HaRishon. Why are we mentioning Adam HaRishon here? So Rashi notes that Adam was unique in that everything that he sacrifice, and we'll speak about Adam HaRishon's sacrifice soon, belonged to him. Right? It was only Adam and Chava in the world. So clearly, whatever he is going to bring as a korban is going to be his and not of gesel, not of theft. And therefore, Adam ki akri mikem korban is teaching us that you, when you are bringing a sacrifice, ensure that you have acquired this sacrifice in a upright, upstanding type of way, and there was no theft and no dishonesty in acquiring this animal to bring to Hashem. The relevancy for our lives is very important. We know that we don't have korbanos today. What we do have instead is uneshama svarim svatenu, pasuk in Hosea, that we pay with our lips instead of the animals. Tfila is bimkom korbanos. Tfila is in place of the korban. And we have to ensure that we are individuals who are careful about theft when we petition Hashem in our tfilos. Indeed, there is a very beautiful pasuk that is found in the 16th chapter of Iov, in the 17th pasuk, that Zayin Yud Zayin, Iov, talking to his friend, says the following: Alo chamash bechapi utfilati zaka. There's no chamas, there's no plunder, there's no robbery in my hands. Utfilati zaka, and my tefillah is pure. The Medrash in Shmos Rabbah asks, is there a tefillah akura, an impure tefillah? And the Medrash answers, yes. Somebody whose hands are soiled with gezel, with robbery, are ones that are a tefillah akura, is a tefillah that Hashem will not accept. Hashem, if a person is going to implore Hashem, and we have that imagery almost of lifting up our hands in tefillah, right? Asakapai, I lift up my hands in tefillah, and I wish that Hashem should respond to me. The Medrash says you have to make sure that you don't have ava b'chapai, you don't have any type of robbery or theft in your hands that should block, lo aleinu, from your tefillos being answered. You know, my friends, it's very fascinating. If you take a look at the Ne'ila prayer, this is the time that we're banging down the doors that Hashem should answer us. It's our final, the fifth tefillah of Yom Kippur, the apex of Yom Kippur. You will find a number of times in the tefillah Ne'ila, and it seems a little bit out of place, that we ask Hashem to save us from the robbery that's in our hand. Why are we focused so much on the robbery in our hand in the middle of Ne'ilah? And the answer is because this is our ticket for our tefillos to be answered. Adam ki akriv mikem korban. We have to be like the level of an Adam, a person who is careful with this aspect of gezel, with this aspect of stealing. And there's a beautiful anecdote that Rav Wolbus mentions in his Sefer on Shirei Chumash on Sefer Breishit, where he relates that a person once visited the yeshiva of Kelm. Kelm was known to be one of the great Musar institutions. And when he walked in, the altar of Kelm was giving a Musar drasha that went on for like over 5 hours. And he was wondering, people are crying, and it's like, he says, oh my gosh, what is it that happened that we have a 5-hour drasha, Musar Shmuz? And he found out it was because two people's rubbers got switched and somebody took boots that didn't belong to him. And we look at this story and we say, please. And the answer is because we don't have the sensitivity that which is ours belongs to us. And if it doesn't belong to us, how could we even dream? How could our hands even take something that isn't ours? That sensitivity, that acute awareness of the importance of gezel, the importance of robbery, of thievery, that's lesson number one that we learn from Adam ki akriv mikem. There's a second idea that we learn that is also focusing in on the personality of Adam. And that's a beautiful maimer from Rav Yisrael Belsky Zatzal in Einei Yisrael. And he offers two different insights based on the same nekuda. And that is, Adam ki akriv mikem is focusing on Adam Harishon's korban, his first sacrifice that he gave to Hashem. And that sacrifice becomes for us a prototype of the type of sacrifice we should give. What was unique about Adam Harishon's sacrifice? An animal is an animal. So the Gemara in Chulin Samech Amud Aleph says the following, that Adam Harishon brought a bull, a par, that was unique, whose horns appeared before its hooves. And this is based on Tehillim 69:32, Vatitiv Lashem Mishur Par Makrin Mafris. Makrin Mafris means the keren, the horns, was before the hooves. What does this mean? So if you ever watched an animal being born, you know that an animal is born as an animal, and only then the horns are developed later. What was unique about Adam Arishon's original bull was that it's almost an interesting imagery to think about. It rose from the ground whole. And because it rose from the ground, what came up from the ground? Its horns. It was born or created or appeared as a whole animal. And the horns, makrin mafris, the horns were before the hooves. This was the animal that Adam Harishon sacrificed to Hashem. What's the symbolism? So there are two ideas here. One is, why do we even need the horns? I understand the meat of the animal. I understand the milk from the female animal. I understand all this. What are the horns about? The horns are for beauty. The horns are for grandeur. The horns demonstrate that a person, that the animal feels this gaiva, this pride. Look at me. His horns are his symbol of pride. When a person brings a korban, we know that it's a cathartic experience where when one sees the meat of the animal being burned, you should feel as if it's your own flesh. And obviously, symbolically, it's the nefesh behemoth. It's the animalistic part of me that drove me to sin that's being sacrificed. And that's what I focused in on, my taiva, my desire. The blood that's being sprinkled is the nefesh, the life force in me, also representing my desires and my will. So the korban wasn't just, okay, let's sacrifice an animal. No, it was a message for a person. You should be that animal. You have to understand that you need to take your desires, your life force, and dedicate it completely to Hashem. What is a chait? A chait, and the korbanos were brought for a chait that you did by accident. Is a chait means you missed the mark. You weren't aligned with the will of the Ribono Shel Olam. What are the horns about? The horns are about that I give that sense of pride, that sense of ego, that sense of self that I give over to the Ribono Shel Olam as well. So when I think about Adam, I think about the korban, the first one that he brought, and it brings to my mind that Adam Arishon is sacrificing this sacrifice with the horns as the thing that we focus in on, that when I come close to Hashem, I need to sacrifice my horns, my ego, my pride, that feeling of I know better, I can do what I want. That is first and foremost that has to be sacrificed in order to come close to Hashem, whether in sacrifice or in tefillah. Humility is the call of the day. The second aspect that Rav Belsky Zatzal brings down is that when Adam sees such a beautiful animal in front of him, and he says, this is the grandeur of creation, he was drawn immediately to say, Hashem, I'm giving this over to you. That Adam Harishon recognized that the whole world exists in order to be able to serve Hashem, not just for my own pleasures, not just for what is beautiful for me to look at this gorgeous animal. Adam Harishon took this beautiful animal and said, Hashem, he's yours. And that is a model for us, that our whole life, all that which makes our lives pleasurable, meaningful, special, we have to align with giving it over to Hashem. The first bracha we say to a chassan and kal on sheva brachos, shehakol bara lechvodo, everything is given for Hashem's honor. Adam ki yakriv mikem is the muscle for us that everything we have, like Adam HaRishon, we need to be able to turn over to the Ribbono Shel Olam.